Psalm 51. Well, we know that David did a really big sin. One day he just wanted to get with the girl or the young woman next door, but she was married. So he takes her, wants to have her as his wife, and oh, whoops, she's married to one of my most loyal soldiers. So he gets that loyal friend and soldier, Uriah, killed along with various other soldiers of Israel, just to try to make it look like it was a bit of an accident. And this was a huge sin. And, well, he repents and he says here, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my sin. Cleanse me from my sin." Now, in a sense, this is what we go through when we go through baptism, that we are washed from our sins. And yet this requires our repentance. So verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. So he's aware that he's sinned. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. So he recognizes that God sees, I've done this evil in your sight. Well, he probably told himself at the time that somehow God doesn't kind of quite see. Well, of course God sees. And all our sins, it's as if we're doing them with God watching you, standing there watching you. But at the time, you don't think that. Behold, I was made in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Well, the truth that God looks for doesn't mean being clever and working everything out from the Bible, as it were. The greatest truth here is to recognize in your inward parts that you've sinned. Now, it's difficult to accept you've sinned, and we live in a world where people don't want to believe they've sinned, and they all think, oh, I'm a wonderful person. On one hand, we don't want to mope around in life like, oh, I'm an awful person. And yet, on the other hand, we've got to recognize that we have sinned. And that is what will make you humble. That's what will make you love God and want to serve God. That's what will make you gentle with other people when you realize how gentle God has been with you. So it's a very good thing to be humble and recognize that we've sinned. This is the ultimate truth in the most inward part. Purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So God can work directly on the human mind. God can do absolute miracles in the psychology, in the thinking, in the feeling of a person. This is what the New Testament calls the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not the doing of miracles, which they could do in the first century, speaking in tongues, raising the dead. We don't have those gifts today. But the Holy Spirit, as in God's work upon the human heart and work in our lives, that is absolutely around. Because the spirit of man, or the spirit of God, is really the mind or the heart. That's the essential idea. So he says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. So then our heart is our spirit. And he asks God to create that spirit within him. Don't throw me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So having the Holy Spirit is having the presence of God. And Jesus talks about this when he talks about the Comforter. There Jesus was about to die, and they were all sad because he's going away, going to die. And he says, don't cry. For one thing, I'll be resurrected, and I will come again to you. But even more so, because I'm going to die and resurrect, I will give you the Holy Spirit so that my presence is real with you, just as real as if I were physically with you. So even back in the Old Testament, David makes that connection between the presence of God and the Spirit of God. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. then will I teach sinners your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. So he goes out and tells everybody, hey, I sinned and I was forgiven. You also can be forgiven. And this should be the basis for our witness, realizing that I have been forgiven. And then you want to go out and tell other people that they can also be forgiven. But you will do so in a spirit of humility. And because you know that this is true for me, you'll have a sort of a power to you when you preach to people. You'll be credible to them and they'll believe you. And deliver me from the guilt for blood which I have, O God, you God of my salvation. My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips. My mouth will show forth your praise. You don't desire sacrifice, or I would give it. You don't delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a humbled heart, O God, you will not despise. So there was no sacrifice that he could offer to take away his guilt for committing adultery, for murder, murdering Uriah and those other men. He said, yeah, if there was a sacrifice, an animal I could offer, I would. But there wasn't. And so all he can say is, I will give my broken heart. That's what God wants more than anything else, a broken and a humble heart. So more than anything else, we've got to have a broken and a humble heart. And yet to get to that point, to have that, you're unfortunately got to go through very hard situations, and they might even include your own sins. Do good unto Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem, then you'll be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, then shall they offer bullocks upon your altar. So once you've got the right heart, then sure, God will accept whatever sacrifices you bring, but you've got to have the right heart, the broken and the humble heart, that really recognizes that I have sinned. That is really a basic part of being convicted of Jesus Christ, to be convicted of your sin.